Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich with Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First on the docket, even Lori Vallow's own child cannot believe that she won't produce the children. Second, an Idaho court issues some orders regarding Lori Vallow's bond reduction hearing set for tomorrow, a case which shows why you don't go to drug deals. Next, what happens when you pen an essay titled How to Murder Your Husband and your husband winds up dead? Fifth, the dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First, I want to thank everyone. We hit that first little hurdle in the YouTube world called 100,000 subscribers. Some people may think that's easy. Maybe some people it is really easy, but it takes a long time. So I thank each and every one of you for subscribing. And for those who haven't, you know the routine. Hit that little subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications. And as always, leave us a comment below on what you think about the cases we discuss here today. First on the docket, Lori Vallow. I know some people say they're tired of this case, but this case is just weird. I'm telling you, from a guy who has seen a lot over the last 25 years, this is one of the more bizarre cases. Maybe it's the mere fact that so many people around Lori Vallow seem to wind up deceased. I don't know. The mere fact that the kids are gone and the mother isn't out looking for the children is just not normal. And I think that's why so many people are attracted to it. I know it certainly makes it interesting for me to follow as well. So tomorrow night, NBC is doing a special one-hour edition of Dateline that's going to be discussing the Lori Vallow case, the case that we've been talking about a lot here. One of the people that Dateline is going to interview is Lori Vallow's son, Colby Ryan. Now, he is absolutely shocked, befuddled, and confused as to why his own mother won't produce the children. It's such an obvious thing to do. Colby also gives us some insight as to the character and perhaps veracity of Lori Vallow. Colby states in this interview that at one point when his stepfather was actually shot and killed by her brother, his uncle, that she stated that he died of natural causes, i.e. a heart attack. You know, maybe it's just trying to make a kid feel better, but it's really, I think, insightful and telling when people lie about things that people just need to know the truth about, and the truth is going to come out. You know, as we all know, Lori Vallow has an absolute right to remain silent, and no one will protect that right to do so more than this guy. Then we have Chad Daybell. Daybell, for those who like to correct my pronunciation of Chad Daybell, that he has cryptically said that the kids are safe. Well, if they are, it'd be an easy case to prove. I mean, I get it. You're talking about kids. If they're safe, just go tell them, and all this would be over, wouldn't it? Unless, of course, you can't. The court has also issued some orders regarding the bond reduction hearing that is set for tomorrow. The court is limiting the number of people that can actually appear in the courtroom as a result of the COVID-19. And she is also limiting members of the media unless they have specifically asked that they be granted permission to attend. I get it, the whole COVID-19 thing. However, you know, it's a public courtroom, and judges get in trouble when they start limiting access to the courtroom in public. Cases get reversed when judges close hearings. Now, this will be televised, but it's like, why risk creating issues on a case for appellate purposes when you don't have to? just like the defendant is entitled to a public trial, the public is also entitled to be present at the hearing. Additionally, the court today issued another order, findings regarding in-person bail reduction hearing for May 1st bond reduction hearing. Basically, it says that the defendant has a right to be present during the bail reduction hearing in order to preserve an adequate recording of the proceedings and to preserve her rights. The defendant must be present in the courtroom with her attorney. The courtroom for the hearing is large enough to provide social distancing for all those attending the hearing. And the court has issued an order governing that courtroom conduct on May 1, 2020. So oftentimes when people are first advised of a crime, they often appear via video advisement. Oftentimes crime's not really charged. It's really just to let you know what's going on. But once the criminal case gets started, the defendant has an absolute right to be present for the hearing. It's referred to as the critical stage of the hearing, which is every stage of any criminal case. That's why a defendant is always ordered to be back, because nothing can get done if they're not there. The courts have made a lot of accommodations lately, saying, oh, you can take guilty pleas over the phone or via web video so that they can kind of keep the wheels of justice continuing here. But up until this COVID-19, it was completely unprecedented. Everything in a criminal courtroom was done in the courtroom with the parties. I'm sure the jail probably wanted to see if they could do this via video conferencing, but the defendant always has a right to be present in the courtroom. So we'll get a look and see how Lori Vallow appears tomorrow. We'll see. You know, there's been lots of comments on her ability to conduct grooming while she's there. We'll see, I guess, how far the roots have grown out, and whether she shows up with the M&M coloring lipstick on her lips. Personally, you know, I have a female client. They always ask, should I do my hair? And they come up with all these concoctions to do their makeup and things like that. I was just go natural. So Lori Vallow, I don't know who you're listening to right now, but just do the whole natural thing. Don't try to get dressed up for court. Even though I think it's important to get dressed up for court, this is not the way to do it. Next on the docket, this is why people shouldn't go to drug deals, all right? This is a case out of Texas, and a gentleman by the name of Zahir Khalim, he was a 21-year-old college student, and he was last seen April 28th of 2019, according to the Harris County Sheriff's Department. Well, guess what? They just found Mr. Khalim's deceased body, all right? Two men have now been charged with the alleged murder of Mr. Khalim. That would be Jose Varela and Austin Walker, who, as I've stated before, are given the presumption of innocence. And a third man who admitted to basically helping Jose Varela and Austin Walker bury Khalim's body on his property. This gentleman's name is Eric Aguilar. Now, apparently this was a complex investigation because nobody knew where Mr. Khalim had been. But ultimately, the police now believe that this is a drug deal gone bad. All right? Now, kids out there, I'm telling you, don't go to drug deals. They can be dangerous. And I mean this. I once had a case not long ago where somebody was coming from another jurisdiction to buy a bunch of marijuana. Next thing you know, people are getting nervous in a small room, and nobody knows each other, but everybody's armed. And by the end of the little shootout in a little basement about the size of 16 by 12, there were three dead bodies in a matter of minutes, all because somebody got nervous. And, well, I don't think we'll ever know, because a lot of the people, well, they're deceased. But the point is, they're dangerous. People that go to drug deals, nobody goes to a drug deal unless they're supposed to actually be there. And you'd never trust the other guy, because if there's one industry where people will snitch anybody out sooner rather than later, it is the drug business. Because so many of the laws are still very draconian, nobody wants to go to prison over a little weed or a little coke, anything along those lines. And so they will sell themselves out. I have seen family members roll on other family members. You just don't see that in any other type of case other than drug cases. And you have a tendency to wind up dead. So don't do it. Another word of advice, don't do drugs. That's the best option around. I've never had a client who said, man, I wish I had done more drugs in my day. It just never happens. So hearts go out to the family of Zuhair Kalim. And we'll see what happens as it relates to the gentleman charged in his death. Next on the docket, what happens when you pen an essay titled How to Murder Your Husband and your husband winds up dead? Yes, that's right. The police start to look at you as a suspect. There's a case out of Oregon involving Nancy Brophy. Now, she's 69, and she was married to her husband of some 27 years. He was a chef by the name of Daniel Brophy. Now, apparently the couple had been struggling a little bit in their golden years, and Nancy was a failing romance mystery novelist, and she ultimately penned an essay, How to Murder Your Husband, and it's alleged that she did that. And the motive is that she was going to get a $1.5 million payout to start a new life. The police allege that Ms. Brophy carried out what she believed was a perfect murder. She thought that it would release her from financial despair and provide her some security for the future and have enough money left over where she could go travel the world, which she always wanted to do, but her husband wasn't as daring. So the police are alleging that the motive for this particular case was that Brophy stood to receive around $300,000 in the equity in the home, as well as receive a payout of a little over $1 million of insurance money, as well as some money related to a workers' compensation claim. And that claim ironically came because her husband, Mr. Brophy, was actually killed at work. And it also looks a little curious because she was an insurance agent and sold herself the $1 million policy on her husband, making her the sole beneficiary. So Mr. Brophy was shot in the back with a Glock handgun in the early hours of June 2nd of 2018, and then once more in the chest as he lay on the ground. His body was discovered by students and instructors arriving for class at the Oregon Culinary Institute where Mr. Brophy worked. Now, this is where it gets good. During an interview, the police interviewed Mrs. Brody, and she produced a Glock pistol. And she stated that her husband had bought a gun at a gun show that year, but it hadn't been used before. And this is where do I always get you? That digital footprint, right? Investigators then found out that she had Googled ghost guns and purchased a Glock gun kit online from Ghost Guns, as well as a Glock slide and barrel from eBay. And the prosecutors allege that she removed the slide and barrel from the gun that was purchased at the gun show, inserted the eBay parts, shot her husband, removed and sold the eBay parts, and then reinserted the original slide and barrel, thus being able to present a new, fully intact, never-fired firearm that she could present to the police. This would also make it impossible for the police to match the shell casings to the firearm that was actually used. And, of course, Ms. Brophy deleted her eBay account just a few days after the killing of Mr. Brophy. And Ms. Brophy's own writings will also come back to bite her because the prosecutors intend to use statements that she wrote in some of her essays, specifically stating, quote, finances could be motivating for murder, and the divorce is expensive. Do you really want to split up your possessions? Now, those could be completely innocent comments, but that's why anything one says can and will be used against you. So if you, I guess, apparently write mystery novels, you don't want to go around getting too graphic in the details because ultimately they can be used against you. My divorce attorney once told me that I would relate to Ms. Brophy. Ms. Brophy, do you know why divorce is so expensive? That's right. Because it's worth it. Now she gets no money and is probably going to prison. Just should have paid the money. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day is actually someone that's probably not very dumb, but I bet there's some underlying issues in his personal life that made him do, allegedly, such a crazy thing. So the Paso Robles police in California say that the owner of Fats Pizza in Atsindero robbed Fats Pizza in Paso Robles Sunday night. Now, it is alleged that the police responded to the Fats Pizza in Paso Robles. The police responded to a report regarding a robbery that had taken place. The employees alleged that while they were in the restaurant, a man armed with a gun came in and stole money from the register. And the employees say the suspect then asked them to turn off the lights and told them to go to the rear of the building. The two employees fled out the back door and saw the man who allegedly robbed them drive away in a white Tundra. Ultimately, the police make a stop of the white Tundra as he is apparently at an In-N-Out Burger. That's where they found the owner, Daryl Allen, of the Fats Pizza in Atsindero. He was ultimately taken into custody where the police found the firearm, a large amount of cash, as well as some drug-related items. So a couple of things here to discuss. Obviously, Mr. Allen has some things going on in his life. Now, nobody is saying that you should go rob people. You particularly shouldn't rob people at gunpoint, but certainly don't move anybody. Now, Mr. Allen is going to be charged additionally with the count of kidnapping. Well, you may say, how was he kidnapped? He didn't kidnap anybody. Most people think of kidnapping as you take somebody by force, take them off, and hold them for ransom. Yes, that is a crime. And in most states, that'll get you a life sentence. But a kidnapping is moving a person against their will, no matter how slight. It could be inches, all right? That's why you see oftentimes in cases, home invasion, go to the next room. You just committed a kidnapping. You moved somebody against their will. Even in a domestic violence type situation, they grabbed my arm and took me to the other room to talk. I didn't want to go. Guess what? You just committed a kidnapping. Kidnappings complicate things. So it sounds like the owner of Fats Pizza in Atsindero has a lot of complicated things going on, but he made his life a whole lot more complicated by robbing people at gunpoint and then also committing a kidnapping as well. Not a good move, Mr. Allen. That's all we've got for today. Once again, thank you all for watching. We know you have lots of things that you could be doing, and the fact that you subscribe and you take the time to watch our channel is very humbling, and we try not to disappoint you. Thank you very much. Have a great day.